Welcome back to the Hollow Sky Podcast. We are your hosts, Steven.
And Kyle.
And we are face-to-face again. So
hell yeah.
That's pretty dope. Because wasn't digging the whole Skype deal.
Nope. Threw our game off a little too much.
Yeah, just didn't feel right. So we are back at it, hopefully better than ever. First off, I just want to say thank you to everyone for all the support. It's been awesome as of lately. Keep up the good work. Thanks for listening to this show. Make sure you tell your friends. Pass the word. Keep on keeping on.
I like it.
So check us out at all of our social medias, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube. Search up the Hollow Sky Podcast, and we should be right where you're searching. Come on over to the Facebook group and share memes, share interesting articles you find online, share your personal experiences. YouTube, hop over there and like and subscribe to the channel. That'd be dope. Speaking of weird encounters, personal experiences, Kyle's going to tell you how to get those to us.
Give us a call. Find your local payphone, enter some money, and dial 1-877-800-HOLLOW.
I think payphones are more elusive than Bigfoot now.
They're getting there. But you can leave us a message. It cuts it up in 5-minute blocks. Or you can use the voice memo app on your smartphone, record your story, email it to us at hollowskypodcast@gmail.com. You can also write out your story and email it to us. You can contact us any way you can.
Yeah. Carve hieroglyphs on a rock that we can discover.
And then throw it at me.
Smoke signals.
Steve is very proficient in understanding and reading and deciphering
smoke signals. Yes. You could transmit and bounce it off of a satellite.
Oh, and by the way, my wife is too. She's really good at the smoke signals.
Oh, well then, anyway.
She's an Indian.
That's, well, good. Speaking of satellites, I saw Starlink the other night.
Yeah, we missed it.
Which is nuts. It's a funny story, actually, which I'll share with you since we do whatever the hell we want. Me and my little brother were out fishing in a little river runoff in the middle of nowhere. Like, there is no light pollution whatsoever. So the stars are phenomenal out
there. Hell yeah.
So we're getting ready to pack up. It's about 9:20, good and dark. Packing my pole up, and Dylan goes, "Steve, what in the hell is that?" And I'm like, "Oh shit. That doesn't sound good." I turn around and we see Starlink, which he didn't know anything about at the time. He just looks up and he sees like 50 stars just traveling across the sky in a perfectly straight line. Like, he thought we were on some More of the World shit. Like, he was ready for awesome. He was ready for the end. And if I would have been thinking, I could have played onto that. But I'm like, no, that's just Elon Musk fucking around with some satellites. It's just Starlink. He's trying to do the world good and give some internet. And he's like, I legit thought it was a fleet of UFOs coming in hot.
It's awesome.
It looks like a simulation. It doesn't look real.
I wish I would have got to see it.
And the weird part is like, you see it trekking across the sky and you expect it to travel all the way like out of your view.
Yeah.
But this just disappeared dead ass center in the sky. Almost like it hit a point and it like went behind, like, it's how it would look if it went behind a cloud, but there were no clouds.
That's weird.
It's almost like they just hit this point and they just blinked out.
That's weird.
It was bizarre. A lot of crazy things going on.
Definitely.
The Pentagon released the UFO videos that Tom DeLonge from Blink-182 released. So,
well, I mean, he is pretty balls deep in this stuff.
Yeah. So basically, the Pentagon is like, yeah, there's some weird shit out there that we don't know about. But everybody's too wrapped up in everything going on to even pay attention to it. So what better time to disclose that aliens and UFOs could possibly be real than a time when no one's paying attention?
I mean, you're not wrong. You're not wrong.
Oh, man, I went on a big tangent. Anyway, if you listen to us on any Apple or iTunes podcast, feel free to hop over there and leave us a rating and review. If you leave us a 5-star rating and a review, we will shout you out, like we're getting ready to do now. Your 5-star rating and review, I guess our 5-star, yours and ours, is brought to us by, oh God, these are so hard to read. Sushi Shinjus.
Yep.
Got it. Says your podcast is amazing. Your podcast is incredible. Keep up the great work, guys. Signed, Larion. That was way easier to read than Sushi. So, Larion, thank you so much for taking the time to hop over there and leave us the kind words and the 5-star rating. It helps kind of push us through all of the other podcasts and kind of elevate us a little bit. And it's a self-esteem boost when we see you guys liking us.
Kind of. I mean,
it's pretty dope.
It is pretty dope. I'm not going to lie.
Our listener submitted experience of the day comes to us from a familiar voice, and that is Tia. She has left us a voicemail today of a Sasquatch encounter that she would like to share with us and the show. So here it is.
Hi guys, this is Tia calling from North Carolina. I called in once before about my alien encounter that I had in my bedroom, where I was able to get them away. And I'm calling you with another story. As I said in that first call, I've had lots of weird experiences, and this was just another one. And this is about a Bigfoot, actually. This was my senior year of high school, so back in 2009. And it was actually with my little brother, so there were other witnesses besides my will. It was around 1 o'clock in the morning, maybe 1:30, something like that. We were coming back from a party, and at the time we were living in a really country part of North Carolina, called Middlesex, which is like in the middle of nowhere, like lots of trees and woods and stuff like that. And it's so small, it's like you probably would have never even heard of it unless you're from like within 15 miles of it. So we were staying there, and we pull up in our yard, and me and my brother get out of the car to walk up to our house. And my brother says, "What's that?" And I look at the edge of the woods that was behind our house, and there's something standing there. And I'm like, "What the hell?" It was actually not that tall as far as like what I would think a Bigfoot would be tall like. I wonder sometimes if it was like a juvenile. But it was around 6 feet tall. It was really dark and hairy, and it was on 2 feet, and it was just standing there like looking at us. And we were looking at it, and it's like we stood there for like a couple minutes, kind of just like, what are we looking at? And all of a sudden, we snapped out of it and ran into our house. We ran into the house. I was like fumbling with the keys trying to get in. He's screaming, I'm screaming, and we finally get in the house. We get in the house, and we're both freaked out, and we're like, oh my gosh, what was that? What was that? Was that a Bigfoot? Oh my God. And next thing you know, we hear something hit our window. We were staying in a really small trailer at the time. So, like, we walk into the trailer, and it's like we're in the living room. And it was hitting the window right across from the door, which is also on the side of the trailer, which is right on the edge of the woods. And it's like somebody was throwing rocks at the window. And that happened about 3 times, maybe about 30 seconds apart. And we are freaking out. And we don't know what to do. We're just like, we're crying, we're freaking out. And the thing starts knocking on all our windows on the back side of the trailer. And like, it's literally, it goes to one window, knock, 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 and goes to another window, knock, knock, knock. And we are so terrified. We call our granddad, who lives across the street, and we're like, "Granddaddy, please come out here. It's a Bigfoot. Like, bring your gun. Bring your gun." And surprisingly, he's not freaking out at all. Like, he seems like he believes us. He's like a woodsy, outdoorsy type dude. Like, he has a farm. Like, we grew up on the farm. He's a hunter. Like, he's in the woods all the time. So I don't know what he's seen. But he was not surprised. He was just like, "You're fine. Are you in the house? Lock the door. Just stay there. But I'm not coming over there." He was like, "I'm not coming over there with a gun. No, just calm down. It'll go away." And eventually it does, but oh my God, that was so weird and crazy, and we talk about it to this day. We actually went on a family vacation a couple months ago, and me and my brother were talking about it, and we asked my granddad if he remembered that, and he said, "Yeah, I remember," and just laughed, but didn't really want to talk about it like that. But yeah, that was my big story. So my Bigfoot story. So thanks, guys. Love the podcast still. You guys are doing a great job. Bye.
Tia, thank you so much for taking the time to call in and sharing your Bigfoot encounter with us. I don't even know where to begin. The first thing that is awesome is that you have your little brother to corroborate it.
Yeah.
Which is great. The more witnesses you have, the better. And two, the fact that it hung around and it almost like I attacked your house, I guess you could say. I mean, it's throwing fucking rocks at the window. There's so many different things I'm thinking. Is it trying to like lure you to come outside? Or is it throwing, you think if it was throwing to damage your home, it the rocks would go through the window.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I was doing some research. Apparently, North Carolina is a hotbed for Bigfoot activity. And there has been a recent flap in Littleton, North Carolina. Within like the last 6 months, there have been 4 different sightings of Bigfoot in this small town. I don't know how close Littleton is to where your encounter took place, but the thing that stuck out to me is this encounter here, where a person claims to have seen a shorter Bigfoot, 5.5 to 6 feet tall, which is exactly how tall you remember seeing it, behind the Cryptozoology and Paranormal Museum in Littleton, North Carolina, which is like crazy in itself. I just did a little map questing, and Littleton is only about an hour's drive away from Middlesex, North Carolina. So, I mean, it'd take a little bit longer striding that way as a Bigfoot, but there could be a whole, what's the word I'm looking for, population of these shorter Bigfoots that could be taking up residence in the area.
It's for sure. Or with it only being an hour away, I mean, I don't know the actual time. Well, no, you said yours happened years ago. So that would either be a population and you both saw youngins, or
they're just shorter in North Carolina.
They're just shorter in North Carolina.
Did he make some questions for you? Did it make any noises, like aggressive noises that you would think of when you hear Bigfoot? Excuse me.
The throwing the rocks is a pretty telltale sign for Bigfoot too.
Yeah, I often wonder if it's like aggressive or not. If you look into Bigfoot encounters and stuff, if you look at Ape Canyon, where they basically had these hunters trapped down in a cabin, and they were attacking the cabin, throwing boulders at it and all kinds of crazy shit.
I mean, so it could be a lot of things, really. It could be a territorial thing, just them letting you know, like, "Hey, I'm here. You need to stay away from me."
It could be a curiosity thing.
Could be, you know, absolutely.
It saw the lights through the window. It saw what you guys were doing. Maybe you were making food or something. It's like, man, maybe I could get in on some of that. But a lot of times, Bigfoot encounters, people notice different smells. Like, can you recall anything off-putting when you were out there and you saw it?
Good call.
Other than sounds and smells, another thing that stood out was the fact that they were, like, mesmerized by it.
Yeah.
Which is the same thing that happened in the last listener encounter with the alien.
Right.
Which, that kind of stuff, like, it makes me wonder how connected all of this activity is.
Well, that, and I mean,
it's human nature to just be mesmerized with something
right.
that you're not used to seeing. Something
right,
that
absolutely.
You know shouldn't be there, I guess.
Right. Yeah, I mean, you just kind of, it's like a deer in the headlights. You see something so far out of place, and you're like, what the fuck is that? One other thing that I liked was that you said you called your grandpa, and, like, his nonchalant response, it's like, yeah, you know, lock the doors, you're going to be fine. He'll go away after a while.
Yeah, like he's just something he's used to.
Yeah, like, he's been there. Like, he's had it happen to him, too.
I love that he's, like, such a badass. He's like, I'm not bringing a gun over to shoot the Bigfoot. Just lock the doors.
It's going
to
go away.
It's such a typical grandpa response.
Yeah, he's like, you're going to be fine. Don't worry about it.
Did you have any other, like, Bigfoot-esque encounters at the house you were living in? Did you find any tracks, any weird tree breakings, any kind of structures in the woods,
right.
stuff of that nature, anything that would tie into the sighting? But I'll tell you, it is creepy as fuck that it was out there watching your house.
For sure.
And the fact that it was tossing rocks at your house. That's wild. Did you guys hear any... Yeah, I already asked that. Any, like,
noises.
Bigfoot sounds outside of the sighting? Like, if you, a month before or 3 months down the road, were you sitting out on the porch, did you hear any weird howls or growls or anything that could be attributed to it? Just things that kind of further the evidence of whatever was living in your woods. Definitely awesome encounters. I love cryptid
sure.
encounters. They're, like, ever since Everett had his, like, they just mesmerized me. So many people see something that people have to be seeing something.
Oh,
so
I agree.
That's where I'm at with that.
I agree 100%.
All right. Again, thanks, Tia, for taking the time to call in with your report. If you've got anything else weird going on out that way, please feel free to call in and let us know. We love to hear from you. Today, I have been looking up a bizarre case that I've read about before, and it stuck out in my head, and I don't remember if I've talked about it on the podcast. If I had, it was just a glancing mention of it. So if I have talked about it, I apologize, but I wanted to come back and focus on it. And this is the story of Olivia Mabel and what killed her. So I'm going to preface this by saying that this case is almost too weird, too good to be true. You know what I mean? Have you ever come across something that's like, just holy shit?
Right.
And this case ticks all of it. Like,
yeah.
You read it and you're like, oh damn.
Well, there's
box
where there's that box.
Yeah.
Oh, they got this box too.
Yeah, holy shit. I'm going to start out by talking about a tulpa.
What the fuck is a tulpa?
A tulpa is this. According to tulpa.info, you can come here, and let me warn you, this kind of gives you a walkthrough of how to create your own tulpa.
Doing it.
Don't do it.
Oh, it's already done.
Because you don't want to bring something into this world that you're not going to be able to take out.
A giant Cheez-It, man.
Something. According to this website, a tulpa is an entity created in the mind, acting independently of and parallel to your own consciousness. They are able to think, and they have their own free will, emotions, and memories. In short, a tulpa is a sentient person living in your head, separate from you. It's currently unproven whether or not tulpas are truly sentient, but in this community, we treat them as such. It takes time for a tulpa to develop a convincing and complex personality. As they grow older, your attention and their life experiences will shape them into a person with their own hopes, dreams, and beliefs.
Pump, pump. Hold on a second. Isn't that borderline schizophrenia?
Could be.
Right?
It does. It sounds like a mental disorder.
Yes.
But it's one you create on your own.
Okay.
There are theories that when you create this tulpa, and as you form it and as you are treating it as a person, if you focus enough time and energy into it, it can manifest itself as a physical incantation, like a physical being.
Okay.
Right?
Right.
So as I'm researching the tulpas and such, stemming from Olivia Mabel, it brings me to folklore of the present. Like, everybody's heard of a creepypasta, right? And I know a lot of podcasters read them and they do different things with them. And I just consider them, they're fictional stories that people post on Reddit and on forums and such. And they're just, they're creepy, weird shit.
Right.
Slenderman, for example. I consider them our generation's urban legends.
Gotcha.
Which they start out totally fictional. And what ties in the tulpa form is that this becomes so ingrained in our life and our society that people start seeing these in real life. Like, there are cases of people actually seeing what they believe is a Slender Man, what they believe is a Siren Head, what they believe is the Rake in real life. And these are all fictional characters that have been created within the last 10 to 15 years.
Right. So, like, in a nutshell, like, we'll take Slender Man, for example. The thought behind this would be that so many people are focusing so much energy and believing that it's real, it actually manifests itself and becomes real.
Ding, ding, ding.
So, but I had a weird thought here that, for me, makes sense in my head. I don't know, you guys here, tell me what you think. So you have, like, ghosts, for example. Let's just take a residual haunting.
That's where I was going with it.
Right? You know, it takes energy to have that residual haunting. And it's, you know, residual hauntings are just the energy that's trapped in an area, but it takes the energy from us to, like, maintain that residual, that residualness. So what if that same energy is just kind of transferred in a different direction? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I was going the opposite direction from a residual haunting to a poltergeist activity.
Okay.
A lot of times when you see poltergeist activity, they are confined and linked to one single solitary person.
Okay, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they right. focus on one person in the household, and they are the brunt of all the anger, all of the everything that poltergeist is putting out. Could it be because the person has focused so much energy towards something that now it's starting to manifest itself in that way?
Right. I mean, it makes sense, especially, like, I know it's hard for me to explain, but it, you know, like I was explaining earlier, just the energy it takes for that residual haunting, like, it kind of proves that we all have this type of energy. And with, like what Steve was saying with these creepypastas, if enough people focus that energy, it brings these things into our reality, which is fucking weird to even have that come out of my mouth.
Dude,
it's really strange.
If you have the time, look at this website, tulpa.info. And again, I don't know how much of this shit is real, so don't go in here fucking around with shit, because, I mean, it is crazy. Like, it's so bizarre. They say a lot of times people create tulpas for companionship, which means the most important aspect is being able to properly communicate with them. If this fails, it could be bad, because you can become so in tune with your tulpa that you can learn to give them control of your body.
Oh shit.
Essentially a possession, which kind of goes along with poltergeist activity and shit. right?
Yeah.
They'll be able to move by themselves, learning to be able to do whatever they want, be it practicing a hobby, using a computer to talk to other people and play games, basically anything you do. You can learn to stop paying attention to your own body entirely while your tulpa is in control. Essentially, you just cruise control.
Hey, Holocult. The weather's getting nice, and you know what that means. It's cryptid hunting season. And the first rule to cryptid hunting is good footwear. That's why we're excited to announce our partnership with Tecovas Boots. When you're out hunting the Dogman or stalking Chupacabra, you don't have time to break in boots. That's why Tecovas is so nice. They have first wear comfort. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with their styles when you're out hunting cryptids.
And let me tell you, their styles are on point. I've always considered getting me a pair of snakeskin boots, and their pair is mint. They also have crocodile boots, caiman boots, ostrich boots, regular leather boots. They have it all, and it's ridiculously awesome. You can even stop by the local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. So just imagine yourself getting a pair of legitimate snakeskin Hollow Sky branded boots. How awesome would that be?
Nothing is going to intimidate a dog man like a nice pair of gator skin boots. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots as well as free returns and exchanges and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
You'll ignore your body's senses and take on imaginary ones, essentially becoming able to lucidly dream while your tulpa does what they want in your body. This is called switching.
Fuck that.
How fucking crazy is that?
Dude, that is weird.
It's a whole thing.
Like, I've heard of whole tulpas thing, and shit, and I've heard of this theory before, especially in linked with the creepypastas, but the more... I've never really given it any more thought than that. But the more I sit here and think about it, the more like my brain entertains the possibility of something like this happening.
Yeah.
Because you hear about people being able to do amazing things with just focusing their energy onto it.
You basically raise it like a person.
It's fucking creepy.
It develops its own personality. It's so.
It's like the ultimate invisible friend.
That can take over your body.
Yeah. The ultimate shitty invisible friend.
Creating a tulpa means committing to raising and living with another person. It is a lifelong commitment, not one that ends when your tulpa starts speaking.
Oh, fuck you.
Did that give me goosebumps?
Same here. It says when it starts speaking, you don't give up on it when it starts talking shit.
Oh, dude, and the whole lore of tulpa goes way back into like Tibetan folklore and stuff like that. It is,
see, that gives it more credibility to me.
Yeah, pretty much every tulpa has a form, an imaginary body they identify with. This form can be anything from a regular human being to a cartoon character, an animal, or anything else you can imagine. Regardless of their form, they still can have a human mind. You interact with your tulpa by tulpa's form by visualizing it in your mind. Most people do this in an imaginary setting called a wonderland, which is a persistent place you imagine yourself and your tulpa being in. You'll be able to change your wonderland at will, make it as normal or as fantastical as you want. There are no limits. Many tulpas tend to spend their alone time in such a place, but it's not required at all to have a wonderland, or to give your tulpa a form, for that matter. The form doesn't have to be a visual image. The word is often used as an umbrella term for a tulpa's looks, voice, their smell, their feeling of their skin, everything you can sense of their imaginary form. Ugh,
the feeling of their skin.
Mm-hmm. If you commit to the process and put a significant amount of time and effort into your tulpa, you'll end up with a friend for life. You'll have a big hand in shaping your tulpa's personality, and it'll be easy to understand them and for them to understand you, almost guaranteeing a close friendship. Getting to know your tulpa will teach you lessons in empathy and give you insight into your own personality and thoughts. They can give you an alternative opinion on problems you have, support you emotionally, and tell you off when you're being stupid. The connection between a host, you, and your tulpa is a very powerful and intimate one. You'll always have a friend to speak with in your head.
That's just so fucking strange, so, dude,
it's fucking bizarre.
Like, this what is way happens, weirder than I thought it was going to be.
What happens when shit goes wrong is what I want to know.
Well, yeah, because, like, all good friends, we've all had a fight. Like, what happens when you piss that motherfucker off?
And it could be, like, it reminds me of the Ghostbusters again. Like whatever the worst thing you can imagine.
Don't imagine it.
Is coming to kill you. Except this is, you can imagine something to be your friend, I guess.
Yeah, a giant Cheez-It man.
Yeah, that's what you want. You're going to wake up tonight and there's going to be a Cheez-It stand.
I would fucking flip out.
Yeah, I hope so. That's fucked.
Or if people started emailing us and were like, dude, I saw this giant man and he was in the shape of a Cheez-It. I don't know what the fuck is going on.
I'd quit the podcast.
I would too. I'd quit thinking.
Okay, so this brings us to Olivia Mabel. Now that I prefaced it with all that tulpa wildness. So, there is a ranch in a suburb of Dallas, Texas called Salina, Texas that housed the Mabel family. It is composed of Travis Mabel, his wife Olivia, and their 7-year-old son Aiden. They lived on this big ranch called the Footlights Ranch, and Olivia was described as a loving mother who cherished her son above anything else on the planet. Like, she was that dedicated to her son. Their whole life was basically storybook perfect until tragedy struck. On March 13th, 1990, their son Aiden was out playing on the property but did not come home. When the family went to look for him, they came across the worst sight a parent could possibly imagine. There, laying beside a small pond, was Aiden, dead of an accidental drowning. Terrible, right?
Absolutely. I couldn't imagine.
The death shocked the entire community, but the one that was most especially affected was Olivia, who Aiden had been her whole world.
Right.
She reportedly just lost it after that. She was so devastated, she just completely shut herself off, which is understandable. She turned her back on her friends, her family. She stopped going to work. She was once reported as, like, a friendly, outspoken woman, and she just turned into a recluse. This clearly led to the disillusion of her marriage to Travis, and he left her in 1991.
Dude, that'd be something really hard to deal with. I couldn't...
Oh, not,
I don't even,
not in a million years.
Like, I understand it. Her becoming a recluse, and, like, I mean, I could easily see it ruining somebody's marriage.
It's just awful.
Like, your world is shattered.
From there, she was seen rarely around the property. People would see her out walking the property, but on super rare occasions. Until one day in September of 1991, when she just disappeared. Weeks turned to months, months into years, and her house just seemed abandoned. The weeds had grown up, nobody was taking care of anything, and people just thought that she had finally come to terms with the loss of her son and had just moved on. You know, she either met a new man and started a new life, or she had left and possibly committed suicide.
Right.
Because the depression was so bad, but nobody knew where she was at or had seen her for quite a while. Then February 27th of 1994 happens. Police allegedly receive a 911 call from the Mabel house, during which whoever was on the other end stayed silent before hanging up. A very odd occurrence, right? Since everybody thought the house to be abandoned. Officers decide to go to do a checkup on the scene, not sure what they were going to expect. There was no answer at the door and no sign of any life whatsoever. So the police let themselves in to find the place as abandoned and dirty and unlived in as they'd expected. It was a complete mess by what they say, almost like someone had ransacked it, except for one room, which was Aiden's room. It was eerily clean and well-kept, devoid of all of the dust that covered the rest of the home, seeming as if someone might come in to live there at any moment. This was unsettling, but what they found in the corner was even more unsettling. There, perched upon a rocking chair, wearing a nightgown and slippers, holding a weird stick-figure doll, was the corpse of Olivia Mabel, found at last. Judging by the look of her body, it appeared that she had been dead for at least multiple months. Cause of death was not apparent at the time. Directly in front of her was a trunk with a bedsheet thrown over it, covered with toys, flowers, candles, pictures of Aiden, and an urn full of ashes. Police found on this strange altar a handwritten note, which reportedly read, "My Aiden, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I should have never let it get like this. I'm leaving. I will not let you keep me, you vile, evil creature. Mommy's coming for you, Aiden. My sweet Aiden. Mommy loves you." At the bottom of a note was a message written in a foreign language that turned out to be Sanskrit, which later translated into construct or to build. Fucking creepy, right?
That is creepy.
To top it off, the letter that was written was dated February 27th, 1994, the exact same day the police discovered her body.
What the fuck?
Yeah. What the fuck? So, what do we have here? Could she have possibly post-dated the letter and killed herself beforehand? How would, like,
no.
That's what one of the theories are. How could she have known that the cops would get there on the date that she post-dated the letter?
Well, yeah, and then, I mean, that would have took outside sources, like, to make the phone call.
Exactly.
You know, to get
their
attention.
That's the big question. Who made the phone call? Officers on the scene, Francisca Santiago, says, according to her, she'd grown up with an uncle who was very into the occult. She quotes, "I spent a lot of time in El Paso and had an uncle that was into some really dark occult stuff. I recognized it immediately. When I walked into the room and saw the symbols and the photos on that altar, I felt a strong and angry presence looming over me. It was honestly the last thing I expected to see in this town. One of the oddest parts for me was the date on the letter we found. Dated the very day we kicked in the door. The city concluded that she post-dated everything, but I don't believe that she was alone in that house, and I don't believe her spirit wasn't still in the room with us that night. But that would make me the crazy one, right?" The case remained unsolved and the house abandoned and forgotten until paranormal investigators took an interest in it and came to investigate. One of these local paranormal researchers, Drew Navarro, who was allegedly very impressed and very afraid of what he found here, he would say this of the house: "In the hundreds of locations I've studied, I've never felt such an imposing force. I couldn't breathe. My heart was consistently racing. Its energy kept changing, but none of it felt inviting. Whatever's in there, it's extremely possessive and behaves so erratically, like a jealous child throwing a tantrum. As far as I'm concerned, that house and the entire property should be avoided. It needs a serious intervention because I'm not sure what we're dealing with." So, what this leads to is, was Olivia Mabel fucking around with Tulpas? You saw the Sanskrit script, which I think might be close to Tibetan.
Well, either way, who the fuck knows that?
Yeah.
Like, knows
unless,
that language.
Unless it was somebody looking in to make
right.
a tulpa. And it was written to build or build or
construct.
Create. Yeah.
Which is another, just creepy when you put it like that in that context.
Right. And you found the doll she was clutching, the straw doll or whatever the fuck
yeah.
that was. And the altar, like, did her...
Like she was trying to make something.
Yeah, did her
but
grief
then again,
and agony and depression drive her to the point to where she was trying to pet cemetery her son back, essentially?
Yeah. I didn't think about it like that because I was... you know, the note was saying that she's not gonna stay here with this evil thing.
Like, she tried to bring her son back, and what happened when they tried to bring it back in Pet Sematary? They don't come back the same.
Turned out very good.
No.
Yeah, because on the altar, his ashes were there.
Yeah, they do not come back the same.
But either way, that's fucked up. You don't try bringing shit to this plane.
Strange, right?
Yeah.
Almost too good to be true.
Okay.
So the more I got a lot of information outside of the Tulpa stuff just on the Livy Mabel case from Mysterious Universe. They did some good research on this, and it's almost too packaged up too nicely. You know, they came across a Kickstarter campaign for a movie called Thoughtform, which never got off the ground because it sounded awesome, because it's based on a tulpa that is created out of grief. And it's almost like this could have been a viral ad for the movie. So there are a lot of red flags that point to this. There's a lack of any actual news reports on the matter or any real sources other than a few websites that are also tied to the movie. So not only is it's either like the craziest, not the craziest, but a crazy ass encounter in a story, or it's a dope ass viral marketing campaign for a movie that was never made.
There's something that's not making sense to me though. So the boy died, right? Of an accidental drowning.
Yes.
Like, that's pretty prominent. Like, yes. You know, okay. So,
you'd think there'd be evidence of such.
Well, not so much that, but if she was trying to make something to bring her child back, why would she say, I'm not going to let this evil thing keep you, or whatever she was saying in there? Because she basically referenced another entity that was evil. Why? What is that reference?
I feel like initially she tried to bring back her son.
Okay.
Right? But she brought back this evil entity.
Okay.
That's
all right.
Why she's apologizing for it. She's like, I did not mean for this to happen, so I'm not going to let him control me anymore. She's going to go and be with her son. Instead of bringing her son back, she brought this tulpa back. Now she's going to try it the other way and send herself to heaven with her son. That's what I'm getting from it.
Okay. So if that's how the story pans, then you have the letter that was dated the same day the phone call was made.
Yes.
Why is that happening?
We don't know.
But theorize. I mean, is it...
Unless it was all... It was all, maybe the tulpa or whatever entity she brought in had some sort of other plan. You know what I mean? Like, maybe it had planned to get a bunch of people in that house and do some fucked up shit.
Well, that's what I was getting at, what if the tulpa, for lack of better words, was lonely and needed somebody else to come?
It could have been.
So I made the phone call.
It could have been.
But that means that if... See, but that's another fucking oddity, because when you go and read about the tulpas like you did, it said that you had to raise it. You had to teach it. So it would have had to learn, right, what police officers are.
And maybe it was so distorted and construed by all of her grief and probably guilt and sadness and tragedy that it didn't come back as a happy little boy. You know, it came back as someone that has suffered the ultimate loss. And you're not going to, it's not going to be a good thing.
No. But then, okay, but then again, it does make sense how Dave Navarro, that went in there researching, said that the spirit acted like a child throwing a tantrum. So it does, that does lead credence to
it possibly,
maybe trying to bring her son back.
Oh, and the aspect of it not being that old, you know, just being her, have raised it. Like, we don't even know how long she had been dabbling in the Tibetan, the Tulpa shit.
Right.
The Sanskrit shit. Because it had to be after her son died.
Right.
And I'm assuming it had to be after she decided to recluse herself, like, to the point to where nobody... I mean, she could have been dead in there since September when people stopped seeing her.
Yeah.
Because they said the rest of the house was just abandoned, covered in dust and all kinds of shit. And that's another thing. If her body had been dead for months, who kept his bedroom clean?
Yeah, that's
true.
There's
no dust in there.
That's true. That's fucking weird.
And when it talks about the Tulpa taking, what if she had died? What if she got this Tulpa to the point to where it could take over her body? And when she died, it's taken over her body whenever it wants.
It's
hopping
up
in there, cleaning the room up. You know, it's got all the toys and shit like a little kid. And it just happens to be like, you know what? I'm just going to call the police. We'll see. Like how notorious is it for kids to dial 0 or dial 911, you know?
Maybe her body was becoming so decrepit that it couldn't control it anymore.
Yeah, maybe it got in there, but then it doesn't describe the note. Like, the note was clearly written by her. Dude, it's bizarre.
I don't know, man.
If it was a viral movie campaign, like, it's hard for me to buy that because there's so much put into it, especially for something like a Kickstarter. Like, there is a website you can go to, oliviamabel.com, and it shows the stuff from the Texas Health Department. It's got pictures of Olivia Mabel. It's got pictures of Aiden. It's got pictures of the doll.
Fuck that.
It's got pictures.
Go back to that doll. Ironically, I mean, it does, in a not so perfect way, depict her son.
Yeah, that's almost like the shirt.
And the hair.
Matches. I'll post these pictures on social medias if I remember, or else Shauna will yell at me.
Yeah, she's definitely going to.
A copy of the note. It all looks like the same handwriting.
I will not let you keep me, is what she says.
Yeah. Almost like she had gotten to the point. Like, because I hadn't really looked into that Tulpa website until we were just doing it. Like, I had read little parts that I was going to keep out. But as I was reading it, I just kept spitballing here as we went. And the fact that it talked about the Tulpas getting to the point where you let them take over your body. And she states that I will not let you keep me.
Yeah. See, now that it's kind of clicking, like, that's most likely what happened.
Look, there's the whole...
the shrine.
Altar and shit.
And that the weird... like, all that other weird lettering right there?
Yeah, that's probably the Sanskrit. To construct.
Yeah. So the way it looks, it definitely looks like she was trying to bring her son back. And maybe at first it played like her son.
Yeah, that is... dude, I don't know.
That's weird, man.
And the more I look into actual Tulpa shit, the fucking weirder it gets.
It's definitely weird.
Like, it's a legit thing. It's a legit practice people do.
Fuck. Imagine what dicks are out there bringing back or bringing to life.
Dude, I just want one that'll go to work for me.
I wouldn't argue that. But what if it's got to take over your body?
Oh, so I still have to go to work?
Yeah.
Then I might as well just go to work.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so weird. But yeah, I don't have any idea as to the legitimacy of this case. It is bizarre. The fact that it's tied into possible viral marketing. It's not like that. It hasn't been unseen with the Cloverfield and,
who's to say it's not the other way around? Who's to say they didn't hear about this and it was their inspiration?
Exactly. That's what I thought too. Because it would have, I mean, this thing sounds like a movie script.
Oh, hell yeah.
It is bizarre. And the more I looked into the Tulpa culture, like there are entire websites dedicated to how to manifest and train your Tulpa. It's like playing Pokemon or some shit.
That's,
you know,
fucking weird. Shauna, don't get any fucking ideas.
Yeah, Shauna.
Not happening.
You don't get to make a Tulpa.
No. You ain't playing Gotta Catch 'Em All.
That's just what we need. A whole bunch of Tulpas running around. Maybe
Fuck
we shouldn't
that.
Release this one.
Fuck that.
So I'm filing this under Unexplained too, because it is bizarre.
Dude, it is wild. I didn't even know. I didn't know that tulpas were that prominent in a lot of belief.
Yep.
Like I've stated numerous times, to me, the old school belief, it carries some weight with me for some reason.
Yep. Even if this is a viral marketing campaign, it is based off where there's smoke, there is fire.
Fuck yes.
So this shit had to come from somewhere. It is just, I don't know. The more I looked into it before and kind of browsed over it, and it just kind of consumed me for a little bit, so I had to share it with you guys. Let us know. We're going to wrap it up here. Let us know what you think about this. If you'd like to look into it, go to OliviaMabel.com and you'll see some different aspects of the case. You'll be able to see pictures of Olivia, pictures of Aiden, their home, police reports, the dolls, the pretty much everything you want to see, the note, the weird altar she built. And if you're really wanting to go look at the tulpa information, go to tulpa.info.
Don't.
But don't make a tulpa, because once tulpas you let it take suck. Over your body, it's going to do whatever it wants anyway.
Yeah.
If anybody out there has looked into this, the phenomena of the tulpa, has dealt with the tulpa, has created a tulpa that you like to hang out with in the Wonderland, definitely get a hold of us, because this is something I have no idea about. But apparently it's a real life thing and people do it. And
I got nothing. Not good. Don't do it.
I got nothing.
Don't do it. Get it. You know what? Well, never mind. You can't even go outside. I was going to say, go outside, make a real fucking friend, but you can't do that anymore.
No. So tulpas are probably on the rise exponentially,
right?
Because everybody's stuck in their houses and don't know what to do with their time.
Buy an Xbox and play Modern Warfare 2.
Yeah.
You're going to make a lot of friends in those lobbies.
Yeah. So that was my case of the day. Shout out to Mysterious Universe for again putting together and doing some gnarly research to help us put all this together. Check out tulpa.info. There's a lot of information there. It's I don't know, man. You and your tulpa, check us out at our Facebook page and our Twitter and our Instagram and our YouTube. And leave us some, ask what weird experiences your tulpa has and send them to us.
Yeah.
Until the next time we meet, everybody stay safe and just don't create a tulpa. Then you don't have to worry about it taking over your body and murdering you and then making it look like a suicide. It's not actually a suicide, but it's weird. Okay, see ya.